Always On Mission is meant to be a constant reminder throughout this year, and I'm praying beyond this year for our church to know, like, why we've been saved, and that there are people out there who desperately need the hope of the gospel.
You're listening to For the City, a podcast of Gospel City Church, where we're committed to the mission of loving God, loving people, and making disciples of all nations. You can find out more at mygospelcity.org. We're glad you're here. This is Season 3.
Hey everybody, welcome to another episode of For the City, a podcast of Gospel City Church, here today with lead pastor of Gospel City Church, Micah Clutinati, as we're kicking off a new series, Always On Mission, and focused on missional stories within our church. And today, Micah, I thought it'd be really helpful if we just start to unpack, what do we mean by always on mission? Where did this kind of phrase come from in your heart for being a missional church at Gospel City?
First off, let's just acknowledge Season 3 is back.
Season 3.
For the city, man.
It's a great thing.
Podcast, one of my favorite things we do.
Yeah, I think it's a helpful resource. We've taken a good break and introduced some video. So if you're watching right now, this is the first episode we've ever videoed. If you're listening on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, or whatever, we do have video version as well.
I've heard people say, like, they enjoy the podcast because it's like pulling the curtain back, and that's exactly what we're going for.
That's right, yeah.
There's a lot of heart behind everything that you do, and so...
Yeah, I think there's never enough time to explain, when you think about a Sunday gathering, never enough time to explain everything that we would love to talk about with our people. So this is our attempt to kind of sit down on the couch with people and chat about what it means to follow the Lord in practical ways. And specifically, Always On Mission has been a burden on our heart as elders and pastors of Gospel City, but just also as followers of Christ, we want to be missional as well. So...
Yeah.
I'd love to hear just a little bit where that came from. And
definitely. So Always On Mission, it's been cool because in our church's history, in the lots of years of planting mode, we would always come up with like a year theme. And in the last few years, I've kind of gone back and forth on the importance of a specific theme and words. And we've had some years where we felt a little bit effective at it. This year, the burden was more, what is something that can just continue to help us culturally build who we are?
Yeah.
Not so much like a theme of the year that drives like our sermon series and all of that. We're just preaching through the Gospel of John and letting it influence. But what are we becoming as Gospel City Church, and what are the convictions of our leadership and all of those sorts of things? And so I was praying through the summer. And it's always interesting when you're like approaching like visionary type thoughts, because you're like, I don't want to drop anything new in the world that isn't biblical or that's not just in line with God's word. We're a church. We want to stay on mission of loving God, loving people, making disciples of all nations. And yet I knew if there was anything that we could grow in, we've been focusing as a church on equipping and making disciples the last few years. And then I knew we wanted to get missional. We wanted to grow in our ability to make disciples in our community, but also in the world, be an agent of change in those kinds of things. So I remember, first off, we pulled together like a creative meeting.
Yeah.
And I got you guys together and the team and bounced some ideas off you. And it was like kind of a muddled mess a little bit. I actually didn't have Always On Mission on the list.
No, yeah.
So in that meeting, I'm like going through my list of lots of things like Lord, send us, or here we are, send us. And Isaiah 6 was obviously on my mind, and I was trying to be really like careful to not, I was even, the pronouns of words were important. Like, I don't want to say me, because I don't want there to be wiggle room for somebody to be like, oh, that person is sent and I'm not. Like, we're all sent. And so that was the idea, is I don't want there to be wiggle room for anyone at Gospel City Church to say, I am not called to be on mission, because that's the point of the Great Commission. If you are a Christian, you're saved to make disciples. If you're a Christian, you've been given a mission. If you're a Christian, you are called to go to the nations. And that might not be far, but you're called to do it here.
Yeah.
And so I think as I was going through that, I said, Always On Mission, and we were kind of like, oh, that's a decent one, but that's probably not it. And then it rose to the occasion as being the thing. But the verse, the passage that I preached to start the year was Romans chapter 10. And this is what Paul writes. He says, "For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. How then will they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how are they to believe in him in whom they have never heard? And how are they to hear without someone preaching? And how are they to preach unless they are sent?" And so what I love about that passage is just the simple logic that Paul uses to help us all see that in order for disciples to be made, Christians have to live sent. Christians have to go.
Yeah.
And in order to go, you got to know what you're going with.
Yeah.
In order to preach. And it's not preaching there is not like professional preacher behind a pulpit. It's gossiping the gospel. It's speaking the gospel. It's testifying of something that you know is true, which is the job of everyone who has come to know Christ. And so that's kind of where we've been as a church. An equipped disciple is a missional disciple. A growing disciple is a going disciple.
Yeah.
And so you're either growing and going, or you're growing and stagnant. You're growing and disobedient. And so Always On Mission is meant to be a constant reminder throughout this year, and I'm praying beyond this year, for our church to know like why we've been saved, and that there are people out there who desperately need the hope of the gospel.
Mm-hmm.
And so we have an ability, we have a responsibility to go and speak the good news of Jesus.
Yeah. You brought this concept, and like you said, there's nothing earth-shattering about this.
Yeah.
We kind of come to these, you know, ministry year launches as a church, and you want to give fresh vision, but you can't really create something new. And so I think every church who adheres to the gospel of Jesus Christ would say they want to be a missional church, and they would be focused on the Great Commission. And even that has been a staple of our church since day one, is focused on the Great Commission of Jesus Christ and the command that he gives to go, therefore, into all the nations and teach all that I've commanded, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit.
Mm.
But what happens is there's cultural drift away from that as a church over time, where, you know, things start to happen on the inward and your church grows and you get more people. Then how do you get those people kind of activated and motivated around the Great Commission outside the walls of your church? And how do you help them feel like, okay, you got to church, that's great, that was like a kind of a first step in the Great Commission for you, but this can't just be a Sunday morning thing.
Yeah,
this has to be an every day of the week thing. And I love that, like, to you, words matter greatly. I know you as a preacher, you scrutinize the words that you're saying, and the crux of every preacher is they wish they could preach it again so they could say it differently.
Yeah.
And that, but I love that we're thinking about what are some tangible words we can put around this to motivate people, to make them feel the way they should feel about the Great Commission, that it's not just this broad idea that's for other people. The missionaries in Zimbabwe are the ones doing
it.
It's the guy who goes across the street to his neighbor saying, "I'm going to have an intentional conversation right now because I'm always on mission." And, you know, even talking about there was this moment where I was having breakfast at your house right before we had this coming out. And this was so heavy on your heart, as, you know, as a musician songwriter that you are. You're like, "Hey, listen to this song I wrote," and you're playing on your piano this song, "Send Us," which ended up becoming a little bit of an anthem around this theme. And we were able to record that as a team and release it. And so the intentionality piece of putting resources in the hands of people, I think is a key part of this for us as a church, that it can't just be from the pulpit, us saying you should be always on mission. And so what, like in your mind, what are some of the, you mentioned it a little bit, like gossip the gospel and these things, but what is your hope for, you know, the guy or the gal who's coming to church and has a desire to live this out? It's like, "I hear you, pastor. I hear you, church leadership. Like, I want to be always on mission." What are some practical ways that you would hope this would influence South Bend, Granger, you know, our local area in this city, to be always on mission? And what are some things you're seeing that play out?
Yeah, I mean, man, I want it to be so personal and so motivating that everybody gets involved somehow. Yeah. So I've already feel like there's been an uptick in people catching the vision. I will say this, for thousands of years, the gospel has gone forward through the believers. The true Christians who get it and who want it and who allow the Spirit of God to testify to their spirit every single day, they will speak the gospel and the gospel will advance.
Yeah.
So we have that hope. So some of the root of what we do is we get up every week and preach faithfully the gospel of Jesus Christ, knowing that it's going to internalize in people and they're going to move. Helping people see that sharing the gospel doesn't have to be a scary thing. Helping people understand sharing the gospel doesn't have to be a complicated thing.
Yeah.
You don't have to overthink it. I think that's the beauty of Always On Mission.
Yeah.
I've noticed, you know, I've been to lunch with three different people over the last several weeks, and something that they've done is ask our waiter or waitress, hey, they've done that in this in my presence, three different people. Hey, we're about to pray for our meal. How can I pray for you? Is there anything in your life I can pray for? And it's pretty awesome. Like, one, it's a bold, like you gotta be a little bit bold to do that.
Yeah.
I think once you do it a couple times, you'll find that it's really easy and actually a great thing. And so I would encourage people to do it. But when you do it, I haven't yet been somewhere where they're like, no, I'm good. I don't want that.
Yeah.
Everybody's kind of like taken off guard. Oh, wow. No one's ever asked me that.
Yeah.
We've gotten to pray for friends of girls who are going into surgery, people with cancer, people who have tests coming up in their high school. And it also has led to just deeper conversation and an invitation to our church. Yeah. I think that's great.
Yeah.
Whether or not you lead someone to Christ in that, I think it's great because it's making the believer test their boldness and test their ability to believe firmly in the power of prayer.
Yeah.
And so I think that's cool. I've gotten to talk to other people who are saying they're sharing the gospel with coworkers and that sort of thing.
Yeah.
I think moms can understand that while you're home all day with your children and your toddlers, you're always on mission.
Yeah.
You're not just fighting to get through the day. You're fighting to give them Jesus.
That's right.
And so you flip that mindset that I'm not in the mundane. I have the Spirit of God and my mission field is right here. Another example is coaching soccer with my kids at Summit Soccer, Summit Church on the other side of town. They've created a great space where tons of people come and their families drop them off to play soccer. But because it's a church, we're able to speak the gospel of Jesus Christ over their kids. And so out on the field, often I coach with a couple other guys and in our church, and we go over with our kids every year. It's like my fourth year doing it. We say, repeat after me. And the kids repeat it, and we say, the gospel is God is holy, man is sinful, Jesus is Savior, I must repent and believe. And by doing that and talking through each element every other week, we've turned a soccer field into a mission field.
That's right.
And you don't have to overthink it. You don't have to have this big elaborate message. You just have the hope of the gospel ready and you're speaking it. And then you trust the Spirit to give you deeper conversations.
Yeah.
And sometimes that's happened with different dads or different moms in hard situations because they start to inquire and ask. And so that's what I mean by being always on mission. It's like simplifying, first off, everybody's just ability to go across the street and have a conversation with your neighbor about the Lord or pray with someone in the community or pray with someone at work or share your testimony with somebody. That's where we go first.
Yeah. Yeah. So the practical side is so oftentimes overcoming the challenges, right? It's we could always find excuses for why I can't do this or that. I don't feel adequate. I don't have the great plan. Like, you know, I don't know what to say to the soccer kids. I don't know what to say to my neighbor who's going through the hard thing. But really it is a mindset shift when you're actually actively looking for the opportunity to speak the love of Christ into a situation. There's so many of those just present. And I've loved the simple thing of, let me just ask the waiter or the waitress to pray. Like it's,
or who you're checking out with at the grocery store.
Yeah. They're all around us. So I think that's it. And I think those common barriers can sometimes get get us sideways. But if we, again, the perspective and the mindset of always on mission just allows people to kind of displace those and say, no, like they're not as big as I've maybe made them out to be. This doesn't have to be as difficult as I've made them out to be.
Beyond that, you know, I think we're trying to, another goal is that every believer in our church, every member of Gospel City should have an eye for the nations, should have an eye for the lost, should have an eye and a heart for the Great Commission. Like, how affected are you that there's 8 billion people on planet Earth, 3 billion of them are considered unreached with the gospel, the other 6 million are lost and dying and on their way to hell.
Yeah.
The wide is the gate is wide that leads to destruction. Like, how affected are you?
Yeah.
Like, do you weep over that? Do you cry over that? Do you care about that?
Yeah.
And does it move you to action in any way?
Yeah.
And I think the ways that you get moved to action in the Great Commission, you might not be the guy sent to Zimbabwe,
right,
but can you pray for somebody in Zimbabwe? Right. Can you send money to someone in Zimbabwe? Can you go on a short-term mission trip to Zimbabwe? And then you run it through the lens of Acts 1:8, where Jesus said, "You'll be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, the ends of the earth." You have these concentric circles going outward of responsibility. So while you might not be sent to the ends of the earth, can you support somebody who's being sent to the ends of the earth? And so we try to do that with some of our international partners.
Yeah.
And then what can you do for your Jerusalem? That might be your house, but then your Judea, your Samaria, that might be South Bend City.
Yeah.
And so those partnerships, there are ministries specializing in certain areas concerning the least of these.
Yeah.
The people who would never be able to pay you back,
yeah,
the compassion ministries, the mercy ministries, that's what Jesus is all about.
Yeah.
You know, James, like, don't have worthless religion where your tongue's unbridled, but have a religion that goes to the orphans and the widows, and be going to the least of these, going to the people who don't have anything. That's who Jesus came for. And ultimately, that gives us, when we're doing that, it's giving us a picture of who we were.
Yeah.
We are lost. We are broken. We are nothing. And yet Jesus came down from his high and holy hill, and he walked in our dirt, lived among us, and he had compassion on us and saved us.
Yeah.
So we love because he first loved us. That's ultimately the heart. And so I love challenging people to not only go across the street and live the always on mission thing in your everyday life, but there should be a radical piece of surrender where every believer prays at some point, "Here am I, Lord, send me."
Yeah.
And what if he does want to send you across the world?
Yeah.
What if he does want to take you out of your comfortable job and send you to another place where you make less money, but you make a greater impact for the glory of God?
Yeah.
I think the more willing we are to go and more open-handed we are with our possessions and our positions in life, the more faithful we will see God in providing all that we need.
Yeah. I think having eyes for the nations is huge because it's easy to kind of look around and say, how are we impacting the community? Because we see it's tangible. It's a little bit easier to interact with it. And we even have some desires to strengthen our relationships with local partners through and see gospel impact and like tangible, like, hey, today you can go, it's 5 miles down the road and you're there.
I think that's really important. Like the strengthening of local, this is the first mission field for us
because
this is where we're planted. Doesn't mean we don't help outside of it.
Right.
But you can miss what God's doing right here.
Right in front of you.
By trying to go to lofty places.
For sure. I mean, I think there's also a little bit of a mental block. Like you say, 8 billion people. And you just like, that feels too big for me. Like, I don't know how to handle that. I can't process that. And I think there's a natural safeguard we put in place where if it feels too big, like, I just don't think about it because I don't know how to process it well. But I do think what's a beautiful thing we've been doing is putting some of those, 8 billion people type ministries, the outer ends of the earth ministries, right in front of our people through people like Billy and Jen with ARA.
Yeah.
And some of our other missionaries who are able to come and talk about specific people, stories of specific people who have come to know Christ and are having an impact. And now it's no longer this generic, broad concept across the ocean. It's like, no, that's a real person who's actually having an impact for the gospel.
Yeah.
And you can support them in a very simple way. Prayer.
Right.
Finances.
Yep.
Or we've looked at short-term mission trips and things like that. Like being an active participant. Yeah, you may not be the person. I love that we keep saying Zimbabwe. I don't think we actually know anybody in Zimbabwe. But you may not be the person to go to that specific place across the ocean. But it is you can be a partner in that. And so I love that there are practical things that we want to do as a church that can have an impact right here in our community for the gospel. We should definitely have eyes for that. But to not lose sight of the nations is a big piece of that too. And it's not so big that you don't have the privilege of not thinking about it.
Like, right.
The Lord is not like, go, oh, I know it was just too much for you. Like, so don't worry about it. Like, no, like we are called and you are in some way resourced to be a support, and every believer can pray.
Yeah.
And so I love, yeah, just the call of, are you moved by this? And it's easy to not be moved by like a very broad term, but if you get down into it and you start talking to some of these missionaries and these people, which we're trying to put them in front of our people more and more and have more forums for conversations around these things, I think it will continue to impact people. And I think we will. I think honestly, we will see people get up and go. Because mm-hmm. the Lord just will impress it upon their heart and call them to do something. So
yeah,
I'm excited for that.
The cultural piece for us, we've always said like we want to live sent as a church.
Yes.
That isn't going away. We've always talked about having an unafraid evangelism. We've always talked about going, glorify, gather, grow, go.
Yeah.
The point is we're not trying to create a church. I mean, we have a beautiful church. We have a comfortable church.
Yeah.
We have great amenities for children and a playground and all of those things.
Yeah.
And I said this, it would be really easy to forget about everything happening in the world and just make this place the most comfortable place ever. And we hang out here with all of our Christians, friends, and we're just safe from the horror of the world. And we're here among the body of Christ.
Yeah.
And I don't think that that's why we get saved. We're saved to be salt and light, right? We're preservation.
Yeah.
We're a preserving people in the world, and we're shining the light of Christ. I think about Daniel that talks about dwell in the cities of man and make for yourselves homes and plant and work for the good of the city, but you're carrying the distinctives of the kingdom of God.
Yeah.
So we live among the distinctives of man, and we live among the people, the lost, and yet we have the distinctives of the kingdom of God. We're like a city on a hill that cannot be hidden. So that would be our language. We're a city sent to the city.
Yeah.
We're not just a landing strip here.
Yeah.
We're a launching pad.
Yeah.
So your church could become a country club that's like, everything I ever need is right here and all my needs are met.
Yeah.
And that's consumerism at its finest. And you do have a challenge. Like, I think we have to preach boldly for the Great Commission in America because we are comfortable people and we have been really blessed.
Yeah.
And if you're not careful, you not only won't be on mission, but you might be so comfortable that you start to lose your dependency on God.
Yeah.
Like, if my life is so good and if I have all that I need, and if my table's full of food every night and my home's beautiful and I have a bank account full of money, what do I need God for?
Yeah.
You know, and so it's that kind of principle. It's easier for a rich man. It's harder for a rich man to get to heaven than a camel to go through the eye of a needle. It's just like, let's shake that up as believers, and especially as a church. Let's never get so comfortable that we don't, one, need God, and then two, we don't realize that the world needs God. And how will they know if we don't go? And how will we go if we're not willing to preach and open our mouths?
Yeah.
And so that's really the heart of all of it, that I keep getting more and more passionate about it.
Yeah.
And when I hear our people telling stories about it, it makes me all the more excited.
Yeah. So, I mean, how do you envision this? Because, again, we kind of said we used a year theme as like an opportunity.
Yeah.
To launch this. But you said, I've heard you say in multiple rooms now from the beginning, like the hope is not we get to next ministry year and we're like, cool, always on mission. Like,
yeah,
done. Let's move on. Let's focus on something else now. What would kind of be some of your vision in your heart for what this looks like in 5-10 years from now?
Yes. I think the, you know, culturally speaking, I'm hoping that just repetition, stories, tangible ways to get involved, bringing in missionaries and updating our church on those things. Part of this was making missions more visible.
Yeah.
I think our church does some good things concerning the Great Commission and missions. Yeah. We just don't have the outlet to talk about it all the time.
Yeah.
And you didn't see it like on display anywhere.
Yeah.
And so one of the things we've been like kind of fighting for a few years was a missions representation in our lobby.
Yeah.
So we put up, you know, launching this year, we put up that big wall. It says Always on Mission. We got a 100-inch TV up there that's showing pictures of our mission trips and our missionaries, and has stats about where we're at in the world. And, and it's just showing people a visible reminder that there's a world outside of us.
Right.
And so think that this thing's bigger. And, you know, tangible things like that. We got prayer cards for all of our local and global partners.
Yeah.
So that's a start. A start was just, let's make missions more visible.
Right.
Some of the things we're doing all throughout this year are like Always on Mission Sundays, where we'll just focus on the Great Commission that Sunday, maybe pray for a specific missionary corporately. Maybe here in October, we're going to hear from Billy and Jen, who will be here, and we're even having like a reception night, which is exciting. And then one big thing that I would love to do is Love Week or For the City Week or a City Week. We're trying to call it something like that, where basically we mobilize as many people in our church as we can to love our city, to go to our Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and, you know, do acts of service, acts of compassion.
Yeah.
Maybe there is street evangelism.
Yeah.
Maybe there is painting life plans, building, doing some landscaping for transformation or people in our community. I think that a church should be known in the community for what it should be, like a city set on a hill that can't be hidden.
Yeah.
Meaning, if Gospel City were to disappear tomorrow, would Michiana know?
Yeah.
Would they care?
Yeah.
And I think we have enough resources, we have enough Spirit of God, and we have enough gospel power to be impactful in our community in that way.
Yeah.
And you do that, they'll know we are Christians by our love.
Yeah.
And so the way that we love the city and the people around us and the hurting and the broken is a testimony to what Christ has done in us. And that should be attractive to a lost and dying world. They may not want the message, but they might be intrigued by what we have, and the saltiness might get them coming and searching and asking, and that could lead to more and more gospel opportunities. So that's kind of like the things we're developing. More partnerships locally.
Yeah.
Really excited about the possibility of partnering with Josiah White's, and we've been meeting with them, which is a foster care ministry in our community that puts foster children in homes of people who are a part of local churches.
Yeah.
That's a massive need in our state. It's like the biggest need in our state.
Yeah.
I can't remember the exact number, but it's an extremely high number of how many kids don't have homes, don't have parents.
Right.
And you want to talk about, I think you sent me a stat of like every successful re-entry of a foster kid back with his parents or back with a parent, the local church was involved 100% of the time.
Yeah.
So you have to ask yourself, what does a church like us do with what responsibility do we have in that? Because the world's not going to fix that.
Yeah.
System's not going to fix that.
Exactly.
But the people of God are called to love the orphans, and just as God is a father to the fatherless.
Yeah.
I think that we can be too. And if we're not specifically called to foster, we can be called to pray for those who are, support financially those who are, help with the needs that that are going on, be respite parents. There's all kinds of opportunities. So excited about that. And if those things get developed throughout the next year, they'll continue into the years to come.
Exactly,
So Always on Mission isn't meant to be like a one-year thing that fades out. It's meant to be a piece of our culture,
yeah,
where we're a missional church. We're constantly looking for ways to serve our city. We're constantly giving toward places outside of our walls, and we're looking for church planters to raise up and plant churches in other places in the world.
Yeah. I think the transparency, too, of just our desire to live outside of ourselves, like even 15% of our budget going, like earmarked from the beginning, like we're going to give this away.
Yeah, and I love that, because that's like we want to be a generous church,
yeah,
and we don't want to spend all of our money on ourselves. Yeah. And that's how most people in America would think. You work for what you have, and then you spend it on yourself, and you make yourself more comfortable, and you get what you need. And even like we're about to do this building renovation, and we're asking our congregation to pray, how can you give toward it so that our money can be used outside the walls? Yeah. So give sacrificially to your church, and let's get this done together so that we can have more space to grow up more goers.
Yeah.
And then the money that we do have in the bank account, that gets sent outside of our walls so that we can bless different ministries and different church planters and different missionaries around the world. I'll say, too, at one point where it was a little tight, it was like, can we back that 15% down to 10%? I remember that conversation, and several of our elders spoke and said, I really don't want to bring that down.
Yeah.
Like, let's keep the conviction that 15% goes outside of our walls, and let's try to grow it.
Yeah.
Like, let's not make it less. Let's be pumping money out where we can. And I would love to see the Lord just catch a fire in our people for their time, talent, and treasure concerning the Great Commission. Yeah. And I think that there's so much work to do.
Yeah, so there's such a good principle there, too, of, you know, the Lord promises that what you give will be given back. And so I think that our heart and desire would be, the more we're opening our hands with people, resources, time, energy, like all the things you even talked about, like the relationships and things, like we're gonna dedicate time and energy towards those things. We're not just going to give our money and say, you guys figure it out. Like, we're going to send people, send leaders to help incorporate it. You think about what we've done with transformation, and we've asked, hey, anybody, can you step in and be a mentor? Can you be in these roles? It's a significant resource, and I believe we're already seeing some of it, of the Lord just returning that upon us, and to where we have to expand facility to train up more people so that they could go and and live sent. That's an awesome thing. And I like, You've mentioned a few of our partners. I'm really excited about this season for the podcast, because you know, we're going to hear from Billy and Jen from ARA. We're going to hear from Corey and Allie at Transformation, and what the Lord's doing through things like Send Network and Josiah White's and all of that. So I think the beautiful thing, like you're saying, is we're kind of starting something this year that the hope is this is now a piece of our DNA.
Yep.
And these relationships are longstanding, and we're just going to keep linking arms with people that can help us be always on mission.
Yeah. It's kind of taken the visibility thing a little further on missions. I'm excited for everybody listening. Like, we want to pull the curtain back.
Yeah.
So you know who our partners are. That'll help you pray for them more. Yeah. It'll help you know if there's opportunities for you to get involved, whether on like entry level things or deep level things.
Yeah.
It will probably enlighten you to places that you could give financially toward, and maybe it will even inspire you to go.
Yeah.
I am praying that the Lord would raise up some missionaries right here in our church, like people who say, I was going to do this, but I feel like the Lord's calling me to go here.
Yeah.
One of the things I'm pumped about with like our relationship to Send Network and is the IMB.
Yeah.
And there are tangible pathways. For if there was a person in our church, a family in our church, a young person in our church who raised their hand today and said, I will go anywhere in the world for the sake of the gospel, there are pathways where, because we're a church involved with that, we can plug you in, we can get you training and resourced and funding even, and you can be sent from our church into other places in the world to advance the gospel of Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
So we want to be a sending church like that. And I think it's a testimony to the flock whenever men and women rise up and say, here I am, send me, and they obey Christ in that. So I'm praying for opportunities like that. And I think that this year, it's kind of like, as we do the podcast, it's like the new age version of of the missionary pictures on the Baptist
wall. Yeah, exactly,
wall.
Yeah.
You know, like, you had all those pictures on the wall, and you're like, I don't know anything about any of these people.
Yeah.
We have partners, and we want everybody to know who they are. Yeah. We don't want you to just hear about them. We don't want you to see pictures. Yeah. You'll get to interview them on a podcast.
On a podcast. It's real great. People. Yeah, coming and sitting down. Yeah, I grew up in a similar church where it was, you know, we would have missionary nights, you know, where the missionary would come in and we're kind of talking about that with Billy and Jen, like a reception night for people just to hear, like, what's God doing? How does that work? And those things are effective because when you hear the stories of God at work, you are moved to participate. And so, yeah, praying the season does that. What would be, like, kind of as we wrap this episode up, some like a prayer or a hope for anybody who's listening? You kind of, you've shared a lot of, you know, I'm praying and believing that maybe somebody listening is like, I want to be that person who's ready to go. But like, prayer or hope for anyone listening of what it means to live on mission and how you would be praying for them right now to take advantage of that in their life.
I think there's two levels. You're already positioned somewhere in life.
Yeah.
So God, in his grace, he's called you, he's made you his own, and right now he's placed you in the city that you live in the family that you're in the job that you're in the school that you're in, and because of that, that's your mission field.
Yeah.
So what I would say is don't always be looking to the place that you think you need to get. Don't always be looking to the grass is greener on the other side.
Yeah.
Take advantage of the place God has you right now. Yeah. You have all that you need for life and godliness in his word and with his spirit in you. And if he has set you free, then you have the power, and he's already commissioned you to help set others free just by speaking the gospel. So the first is, like, take advantage of the spot you're in. Yeah. If you're a mom, your house is a mission field.
Yeah.
If you're a soccer coach, the field is a mission field. If you're a college student, your campus is a mission field. And so be bold. Yeah. Open your mouth and speak the gospel. The second thing I would encourage everyone to pray radically, here I am, Lord, send me.
Yeah.
I prayed that for a lot of years, even in ministry here.
Yeah.
I had my ideas of where I wanted to be.
Yeah.
None of those ideas have come true. And in praying, here I am, Lord, send me, honestly, kind of feeling willing to go anywhere, God has said, stay here, stay here, stay here, stay here.
Yeah.
So there is power in the staying.
Yeah.
If you're saying, here I am, send me, and God says, stay here, then you know you have work to do for the kingdom of God right where he has you.
Yeah.
But also, I think some people, they fear saying, here I am, send me, because they don't want to leave.
Yeah.
They don't want to go. They don't want to get out of the comfort zone. They don't want to be stretched. They don't want to leave family. They don't want to leave their job. They don't want to give up the paycheck for a harder lifestyle. And those kinds of things, you do got to make wise decisions. You do got to trust the Spirit. But you think of Jesus' words, no one who leaves father and mother will regret those things for the glory of God.
Yeah.
Like when God calls you and sends you, he provides the means, provides the blessings, and you will reap when you do not give up. So I would say pray those things. And a third thing, just as an encouragement to anyone who's listening with kids, expose your kids to this stuff.
That's right.
Like the missionary nights like you and I grew up in, we remember those.
Yeah.
And when we do anything at church, that's kind of the always on mission thing. We want our kids to be in with us so that the next generation is catching the beauty of people who go with the gospel.
Yeah.
My wife has incorporated it into some of our schooling with our kids.
Nice.
So we just got done reading David Livingston's autobiography, and that was cool. It's like we're talking to our kids about getting Bibles into countries and different places, and there's some pretty cool books out there as you study the lives of missionaries that can inspire your children to think about the Great Commission. So
That's awesome. Well, thanks for listening for the city, and we're excited to get this season up and running. Would love if this episode is helpful, or maybe if you, some people you want to kind of inspire to live sent in any sort of way, this would be a great episode to share with them. And you can subscribe on YouTube and on anywhere you get your podcasts. but we're going to keep coming out with episodes and talking about what it means to be always on mission in different contexts with different people all this season on For the City.
Thanks for listening to For the City, a podcast of Gospel City Church. We want to encourage you to like or subscribe wherever you get your podcasts so that you know when the next episode is released. And if you found this episode helpful, make sure to share it with a friend. We'll see you next time.